Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God, our Heavenly Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, having spent multiple summers working at my mom's preschool, I'm pretty familiar with the preschool property laws. If I like it, it's mine. If it's in my hand, it's mine. If I can take it from you, it's mine. If I had it a little while ago, it's still mine. It must never appear to be yours in any way because it is always and forevermore mine. I mean, let's be honest. We all can be like the seagulls from Finding Nemo saying, mine? Mine? Because deep down, within you and me, there exists this insatiable desire to look at someone else's snowblower or lawnmower, bike or boat, patio or porch, well, just about anything and everything that belongs to our neighbor and think, I want them all to be mine. But we're in a series on the book of Exodus, and today we come to one of the most famous parts, the Ten Commandments. Now, in the Ten Commandments, there are two commandments that address the sin of coveting. Not one, but two. What gives? Well, God repeats it because it's important. The ninth and tenth commandments are incredibly important commandments because every sin starts with coveting. I mean, coveting isn't just wanting things. It's natural for you and I to want things. But coveting, on this other hand, coveting says, I'll do whatever it takes to get this. I'll break any commandment, any statute, any rule, any law, just to make it mine. Well, coveting, it's why we worship other gods, like our job, our work, our social status, our paycheck. Coveting, it's why we fail to honor our parents, why we kill people with our words, look at people with lust, lie, cheat, and steal, because I want it all to be mine. So how can we deal with our titanic desire to acquire? How can we become more obedient to God's word and will? How can we break this stranglehold of looking at all things and wanting them to be mine? Well, the fact is, coveting is natural for our sinful nature. Coveting comes with being a sinner. But being content, though, doesn't come naturally. It's something that you and I have to learn. Paul says in the letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verse 12, I have learned the secret of being content in every and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Being content conquers coveting every time. So how does it work? Well, step one is that we need to realize the sequence. Because usually you and I, we don't realize the sequence, we rationalize the sequence. You and I say, coveting, no big deal. But instead, you and I need to realize the sequence. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, it says, then the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye. She coveted it for gaining wisdom. Then she took and ate it. See, covet, take. In Joshua chapter 7, verse 21, it says, I saw among the spoils a beautiful mantle from Shinar, and 200 shekels of silver, and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels. Then I coveted them, and then I took them. See, covet, take. This sequence appears over five times in the Old Testament. See, covet, take. Well, how often do you and I rationalize our coveting? How often do you and I just say, I'm just looking? Well, looking leads to coveting. Coveting leads to taking. And what does taking lead to? Well, James chapter 1, verse 15 says, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Realize, don't rationalize the sequence. See, covet, take, death. See, when we covet our neighbor's spouse. It brings death to our marital joy. When we covet each other's skills, intellect, popularity, or family connections, I mean, you name it, it brings death to our inner peace. When we covet our neighbor's BMW, Rolex watch, looks, pick your poison, it brings death to our relationship with Jesus. When left unchecked, coveting, it steals into our heart and it kills us. Just ask Eve. Just ask Achan. Just ask James. Because after desire has been conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Being content conquers coveting. So here is the first step to becoming content. Realize, don't rationalize the sequence. See, covet, take, death. Well, step two is to personalize your salvation. Because you and I have a tendency to generalize our salvation. You might say, well, salvation, it's no big deal. But we have to stop doing this. Personalize your salvation. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 2, God makes things very personal for us when he says, I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Not her God, not his God, not their God, not some God, not any God that's out there. He says, Yahweh, the Lord is your God. In verse 5, your God says, I, the Lord, your God, am a zealous God. See, your zealous God, he will do whatever it takes to save you. And he did it for you. But this time, he didn't use frogs, flies, or fleas. There was a Passover lamb. Christ's blood, it wasn't splattered on the wood of the doorpost of your house. It was splattered on the wood of a Roman instrument of death. It was mingled with sweat, with a soldier's spit, with sour wine. It all ended crucified, died, and buried. Watch as Joseph of Arimathea places Christ into the garden tomb. Smell the stench of death. See the confines, the darkness, the sealed stone. Feel the utter hopelessness. And then witness the charred marks of a divine explosion to life. There is nothing dead about our Jesus. See, Jesus blew the rock open from the inside, and he rolled away the stone. Jesus lives so he can speak these words from his heart straight to yours. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of sin and death, out of the house of slavery. I, the Lord your God, am a zealous God, and I will do whatever it takes to save you. See, being content, it conquers coveting. The first step is to not rationalize the sequence. Realize where it all ends up. It ends at death. So step two then is to personalize your salvation. That Jesus is the Passover lamb who saved me. So then step three is to internalize your status. See, in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5, God says, out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. God's desire to acquire us is infinitely greater than our desire to acquire stuff. See, from the depths of his loving heart, the Lord says, you are always and forevermore my treasured possession. See, God wants us, warts and all. This isn't always the case for you and I. We experience times in our lives where we aren't the first choice, whether it's in our jobs or friendships or relationships or professional advice. People might say, well, you weren't exactly my first choice, but I guess you'll do. But see, God says, you are my first choice. When you were baptized, God made you his first choice. And he wasn't obligatorily doing this. He wasn't required to do this. He wasn't compulsed or forced or compelled. God chose you because God loves you. God looks at you in this great love. And he says, you are my prized, priceless possession. Imagine that. Because the temptation, though, is to trivialize all of this. To trivialize our status as God's prized possession. We say, what's the big deal? But don't trivialize, internalize. You are God's prized possessions. Let it go down deep into your bones, into every fiber of your being. You are God's priceless possession. What else tops that? Well, the Ten Commandments end as this. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor. How can you and I even begin to follow this commandment? Step one, realize the sequence. See, covet, take, death. Step two, personalize your salvation. Jesus is the Passover lamb who died for you. Step three, internalize status. You are God's priceless possession. Where is the power to do this? Where is the strength? Where is the want-to attitude? It's in God's words to us. Let's say, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are always and forevermore, lovingly, passionately, internally mine. So be it. Amen. As followers of Christ, keep loving one another earnestly and show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Amen.